Text, Hallmark Entertainment presents a Cypress Point production. Title, A Christmas Visitor. Kids run and ride their bikes down a small town street. Text, starring William Devane, Meredith Baxter, Dean McDermott, Reagan Pasternak. A truck turns onto a main street and the driver waves at people on the sidewalk. American flags wave in front of Luke's country store. The driver of the truck looks out the window.
Ferdy!
No, George!
A group of Marines waves at him. He drives past a military statue. Townspeople and service members approach the statue. A woman holds a wreath.
Morning, George!
Hi, Mayor.
You're late!
A man yells at him.
Just gotta park the rig!
The man waves his hand at George. Text, music by Charles Bernstein. A woman in uniform salutes the statue of a man wearing a helmet. Text, editor, Michael Brown. Production designer, Eric Fraser. The base of the statue reads in memory, and it lists the names of fallen soldiers. George parks his truck and unbuckles his seatbelt. He reaches out and touches a dog tag hanging from his mirror. He holds it tightly in his fist. He grabs a single red rose from the center console. Veterans gather near the statue. Some of them carry flags.
You're running late.
One more year, George.
A veteran shakes his hand.
At least it's not raining this year.
Yeah. Carol couldn't make it, huh?
There's Grandpa.
No. Another Memorial Day. Let's do it.
George pushes his friend in a wheelchair toward the statue. A man places a wreath reading Veterans of Foreign Wars at the base of the statue. Another man places a wreath reading American Legion Post 176 in front of the statue. He salutes. Mary places her wreath for the Korean War near the statue and touches a name on the wall. George's friend wheels himself forward. A plaque reads Gulf War 1990-1991, Boy Aggie and JG. George steps forward and lays down his red rose next to a wreath. He steps back and looks up at the statue. He takes a deep breath and smiles. Text, directed by Christopher Leitch. A plaque shows the names of World War I fallen soldiers from 1917 to 1918. Another plaque displays the names of fallen soldiers from World War II. Plaques show fallen soldiers from the Korean War and from the Vietnam War. George looks on as the Gulf War plaque is featured. Later, George sits with a soldier.
Special Forces, that's pretty rough stuff.
Yes, sir. I've had the best training, and it's where the action is. Well, if there ever is any.
Well, in my day, it was never volunteer, stay in the middle, and hope they don't learn your name.
You know, it's the second time you told me that this morning.
Well, I think it's good advice, son.
Look, it's a different world, all right? I mean, we're the only superpower now. Nobody's gonna mess with us.
I suppose.
Bus for Savannah leaving in 5 minutes.
George's son puts on his green beret.
Well, yeah, I guess that's me.
Looks good.
Teens in a convertible drive down the main street. George carries his son's duffel bag.
Hey, soldier boy.
A woman smiles.
Hi, Mr. Bajan.
George waves at the young blonde woman. She looks at the soldier and smooths her hair. The young man walks over.
Hey, Liz. How's school?
Good. Summer semester starts next week, so I guess you're,
Yeah. Off to see the world.
Well, I just wanted to say goodbye.
She stands up and kisses him.
Thanks.
He nods and smiles. George smiles at him.
So, good luck. Your head down and come back soon, okay?
I will.
Promise?
Yeah, I promise.
They smile at each other. She sits down in the car and waves at the soldier. He walks back toward his dad.
That's Steve Graben's daughter?
You used to date her?
For a while, yeah, yeah. I took her to the prom. Listen, Dad. Take care of Mom. Get those boys away from Gina.
Will do.
A small boy approaches.
Hey, soldier. Attention.
He salutes. George and his son smile at each other. His son salutes the little boy.
Take care of yourself. Make sure you keep in touch. Let us know if anything happens.
What's gonna happen, Dad? All right, with this training, I'm lean, mean, and almost bulletproof.
George hands him his bag.
I love you, Dad.
They embrace.
Love you too, son.
Tell Mom and Jane too.
No one.
Look, I'll be fine.
I know you will.
His son hands his ticket to the bus driver. He looks back and nods at George, and George nods back. He boards the bus, and the door closes. George puts his sunglasses on and waves to his son. As the bus pulls away, George removes the sunglasses, and he is crying. The Greyhound bus drives into the distance beneath a sky of white clouds. In the present, George looks at x-rays.
Oh, I just can't say, Jean. It's inconclusive.
But you did a biopsy.
No, a needle biopsy, Carol. They get so few cells, you can't always tell.
Well, then why do them?
It's part of the process.
So what's next in this process?
Well, I want it out. A lumpectomy, a small one.
Surgery?
Yeah, pretty minor.
What? It's a minor one?
When?
We've got the holidays coming up.
Well, we don't celebrate the holidays.
Yeah, how about next week?
You know, I can squeeze it in on Monday. It's just an outpatient procedure. But you won't get the results until after Christmas. All the lab staff takes off.
Okay, let's do it Monday. Classes start right after the first, so...
Okay. Let's go for it.
Yeah, right.
The doctor nods at George's wife and daughter.
Well, I'll see you next week, then.
George frowns.
I'll get the rig.
Jean rides with her parents.
This feels so stupid. I mean, I was actually praying that there wasn't anything...
It isn't. You know, you have to believe that.
Having the right attitude, what's important, huh?
No, I just thought I was prepared for this. I thought I'm 22 years old, Mom.
For my money, if the doc says it's nothing, then you gotta believe it's nothing.
Oh, Dad, wake up. That's what they all say. They learn it at medical school.
You know, you are young and healthy. In all likelihood, this is nothing. Okay, so you just have to think positive, baby.
Come September, it'll be a fading memory. Graduate school. Keep your eye on the prize.
Yeah.
Jean doesn't smile. Christmas lights adorn the street. The family eats dinner.
So what happened to that boy from Boston? What's his name? Brad? Bill?
Peter?
Peter, yeah. What's with Peter?
Well, actually, Dad, it was Peter who found the lump in my breast. And he's moved on since then. If you know what I mean. Excuse me.
Jean leaves, and George looks at his wife, Carol.
She has some things to work out.
She clears the table.
I didn't know. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I am too.
Carol! I'm going out.
She closes her eyes and sighs. She watches him as he grabs his coat and leaves. She stands alone looking down. At the war memorial, George scrubs his son's plaque.
Try to clean this up for you, bud. Get it all spick and span. Boy, I really screwed up with your mother and your sister tonight. Your sister's not doing good. She's got some bad news. And if you could help her,
you know what you're talking about.
Send her some kind of message.
Hey, hey, look.
Something
here
that might pick her up.
Three young men approach.
Check out the truck. These six got some good stuff in those boxes, huh? Yeah, why don't you see if you can open it up?
Yeah, it's locked, dude.
George spots them trying to break in.
Hey! Get away from that truck!
Yo, check it out. Hey, what's up, dude?
What's up with you?
Dude's talking to Rambo, man.
One man grabs a flag and holds it to his mouth. George grabs it from him.
Hey, relax, though, dude. We're just looking for Rambo. All these dead mothers, there's got to be Rambo here somewhere, right?
Yeah, man.
You boys need to learn a little respect around a memorial.
Oh, I think you're the one who shows some respect, Pops.
I think we ought to just move away from here.
Yeah, huh? I don't think so,
actually. I'd like it if we started by seeing those keys to the lockbox on your factory.
They shove George.
Yeah. Hey, you hear me, old man? The keys.
Is there a problem here?
Huh?
Something I can help you with?
No, no problem, man.
Hey!
They look towards the voice, but nobody is there.
I'm talking to you.
The men look around trying to see who is speaking.
Something I can help you with?
Their mouths hang open.
Isn't there something you want to do?
Yes, sir. I'll take care of that.
One of them straightens the flags he messed up.
You don't have the right to be here, so I suggest you move on.
We didn't mean nothing.
Yeah, come on. Let's go. Let's get out of here. Come on.
They flee down the street. George turns to see who saved him, but he only sees a shadow in the alley.
You have a Merry Christmas.
He furrows his brow and looks up at the statue of the soldier. The next morning, he sits at the breakfast table.
All I'm saying is that it was very strange. One minute, these punks are trying to rip off my rig. The next minute, they're trying to mug me.
Goodness sakes, why didn't you call the police?
Well, I didn't have time to call the police.
I don't get why you go over there night after night.
It's the holidays. I like to visit John.
Well, if you hadn't sent him over there to begin with, you wouldn't have to visit him at a memorial.
I didn't send him over there. He went of his own accord.
Right. You let him go.
Jean listens.
Be a man. Serve your country. You even took him to church in his uniform, told everybody he was going to be a Green Beret. You know, I visit John where he's buried. And I don't have to go there on the holidays. Christmas is John's memorial. You agreed on that.
I didn't agree to a dozen years. Enough is enough. It's Christmas and we should be participating.
Guys, what's going on? It's 7 o'clock in the morning.
Well, your dad thinks that we should be celebrating Christmas. As if that's going to bring Johnny back.
Well, maybe we should.
Carol looks up.
Might be my last chance before I join him.
Jeannie.
What's that supposed to mean?
Well, see, we have a daughter here who needs us. You know, we should be concentrating on her future.
I wonder how Johnny must have felt in those last few moments right before it happened.
Carol shakes her head. George closes his eyes. Surgeons and nurses in scrubs perform surgery in an operating room. They turn lights on. They move around the room. One doctor nods at another. An anesthesiologist holds a mask over Jean's face. Monitors display her vitals. A doctor shines a laser towards her. Jean's mammogram images are on the wall. Carol pushes Jean in the wheelchair.
So these are the prescriptions and the instructions for the next few days. Bed rest today and eat lightly. Tomorrow you're going to be sore and tender to the touch. Cover the incision when you take a shower and change the dressing twice a day. Any problems, you just give me a call, like, you know, abnormal oozing or swelling, something like that.
When do we know?
The lab work should be back next Monday. You come in then and I'll take out the stitches. But in the meantime, have a good Christmas.
Where's Dad?
Paying the bill.
George stands at a desk.
Excuse me, doctor.
Oh, Mr. Boyojin.
I know you said upstairs that everything was okay, but I understand that the pathology people have an opinion right away.
Well, yes, while we're in surgery.
What did they say?
Oh, it's inconclusive. Look, Mr. Boyojin, I know you want an answer, but
I can't give you one until the lab results come in. It's a process. I'll know more after Christmas. You and your family go home. Have a good holiday.
Thank you.
It's nighttime outside the family's house. Jean turns on a lamp and stares at a photo of her with her brother. She has tears in her eyes as she looks at it. She sniffles and sets the photo down. She looks at photos on her mirror of groups of her friends. She looks at a landscape and a photo of two tigers. A London postcard is taped to the mirror. She looks at her reflection with the bandages on her chest. She peels the bandage away to reveal stitches and dark bruises. She wipes tears away. Her dad comes up the stairs and pauses outside her door.
Jeannie.
She looks over her shoulder.
It's gonna be okay, huh?
Yeah.
She tries to smile and replaces the bandage.
You're gonna get through this.
She buttons her shirt. She sits on her bed and looks at her dad.
It seems we all imagine the worst.
I don't have to imagine, Dad. Oh, God, why is this happening? Why is this happening now? Daddy, I'm sorry. I know that you want Christmas so much. But I can't. I can't. And it's not about Johnny. It's about me.
Look, I know how you must feel.
He sits next to her.
But I truly believe that you're going to be fine. That this is all going to go away.
Yeah, that's what Mom says, too, to be positive. But how can we know? Nobody knows.
Well, you know how I go down to the monument every night?
Yeah.
I go down there to chat with John.
You do?
He nods his head.
I go into his room to do that.
They grin at each other.
When I left there last night, I was convinced that John wants us to have Christmas. Just like we used to. So I'm asking you for one Christmas Eve. Just give me one.
She nods at him.
What about the rest of them?
Well, you can have all the rest of them. You know, all the Christmas Eves you deserve.
They hug.
I promise you.
She shuts her eyes and nods. The next day, George sits near the memorial with a newspaper under his arm. Santa Claus watches an older woman walk by with a cart.
How's business, Santa? Oh, doing pretty good. Take care.
Morning, George.
Morning, Mayor. How you doing?
Bad for an old battle axe. How's Carol?
She's doing fine. Let me give you a hand.
Jeannie, how's she doing?
She's doing fine. Home from college for the holidays. Worrying about graduate school.
I meant the hospital. You know, George, no matter how big it gets, this is still a small town.
They reach Mary's car.
She's doing fine, Mayor.
How's Carol taking it?
He places her bags inside.
Good, good.
Remember when you had Jeannie? All those years after John? There she was. Our beautiful little miracle. That's what Carol called her.
Yep.
There's always hope, George, and faith.
She looks at the memorial.
What does Johnny think all this?
Well, he thinks that Jeannie's going to be fine. He thinks we should have Christmas again.
She beams and hugs him and kisses his cheek.
Anything you need, anything, just ask. I gotta go. I have to bake. Maybe I'll bring you something sweet for the holidays.
Thanks, Mary. Merry Christmas.
He grins. A man works at the post office.
George.
Hey, Tommy. Just about to go off.
Why don't you meet me over there?
George steps up to the counter.
Hell. What'll it be? Two books of Christmas stamps.
Christmas stamps? Are you sending out cards this year?
Better late than never.
You haven't bought these for a while, George.
telling me. What do they cost now?
Well, they're on me.
George opens his mouth.
Merry Christmas.
Nah, come on, Tommy. You don't have to do that.
No, I want to. Just use one to send us a card.
All right. Here you go. Thanks.
They shake hands.
Merry Christmas to you and Ellen.
Tommy smiles. George greets people.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, girl.
Merry Christmas, George.
An elderly woman turns.
Merry Christmas, George.
She follows him across the street. He looks at Christmas decorations. She watches him at a distance. He turns and she nods at him. He smiles and continues to shop, and she follows. She holds Christmas ribbon. She turns a corner and finds George in the next aisle. George's veteran friend observes. The woman looks back at George near Christmas lights. His friend, the store clerk, shakes his head.
There's a sight.
Don't need to tell me. Practically knocked me over coming out the post office. George Biogen buying Christmas tree lights.
Well, people do buy Christmas lights at Christmas time, Miss Kearney.
She hands him money.
All right.
He puts it into the register.
There's your change, Miss Kearney. You have a Merry Christmas now.
Yes, and Merry Christmas to you. And say hello to Jan for me.
The clerk sits on his chair and wheels backward. George gathers his purchases.
Replacing some lights, George?
I'm thinking about it.
Big decision, huh?
I'll say. Got all kinds of lights. You got grape lights and pepper lights and blinking lights and drinking lights, you know. But I think I'll stick with the old-fashioned ones to get started again.
Well, I'm glad that Carol
George's smile falters.
George, you know this is big.
Well, actually, Carol and Jeannie don't know yet, if you know what I mean.
I understand. Jan still won't talk about her brother Dickie or the others we knew on our plaque out there. You're Johnny, the only one on his. That's hard.
Carol and Jean just think it was a big waste.
Yeah, well, we were drafted, George. But Johnny, he wanted to serve. He was a hero. Don't forget. Don't ever forget. He did the right thing. And for that, he had my total admiration.
It was a different time, Larry.
Well, different ain't necessarily better, George. You know, Johnny was the best after-school clerk I ever had in here. You raised him right.
Sometimes I wonder, you know, if I had it. Yeah.
Ah, come on, I wonder. Sometimes I think that don't work, George. What is, is. He was a man, and you gave him the freedom to choose. The greatest gift you can give a child. But once you do it, it's their life. You gotta let go, George. There comes a time when we all gotta let go. Come on, get out of here. Your money's no good here today.
Larry puts down the bags.
Merry Christmas.
It's not necessary.
It is. Look, you've been volunteering all over this town, even when you were hurting. It's called payback, and it's way overdue. Hey, George, you go have yourself a special Christmas. You and the family.
Thanks, pal.
Larry smiles as they shake hands.
You and Jan, too. You know, I've had this weirdest feeling all day. You know how sometimes you think you can feel in the...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, sometimes I think I can still get up and run the 100.
Right. Well, today, I think I can feel something in here. Something that used to be there and is back.
It's called Christmas, George.
Yeah, I guess. You take care.
Merry Christmas, pal.
Larry watches him leave.
God bless, pal. Peace.
George chops firewood. Carol watches him through the window.
He's up to something.
He's got that look. What look?
I remember when we were dating, I'd come home from school, and almost every day he would be there helping my dad out with some project or other. And I'd say, what are you doing? And he'd just look at me with that innocent look and go, well, why? I'm just helping out your dad.
Ah, just to be around you?
No, to get on my dad's good side. Like your father just come back from Vietnam, and he didn't have many prospects.
Well, that didn't stop him.
No.
Say, did I ever tell you about...
What?
Well, your father's helping my dad redo the kitchen, right? So one day, he asked me to help him unclog the drain in the kitchen sink. So he slides under the sink, and he's given me all these tools to hand him. So I hand him the last tool, and there is this banging and a clattering, and it got awful. And then this fist comes out from underneath the sink. And he says, I got it!
Got what?
Carol removes her ring and holds it up.
Oh. Mom, that's so sweet.
Yeah. He said he wasn't coming out until I put it on.
She places it back on her hand.
He was the guy everybody wanted to be.
Well, he was the guy I wanted to be with.
Carol looks down. Jean's smile fades. Carol notices Jean's face.
Let me get you some tea, honey?
No, you know what, Mom? I'm just gonna go and lie down.
Okay. Carol rubs her ring finger. She walks to the front door and opens it. She narrows her eyes as she notices a wreath hanger on the front door. In a flashback, a wreath hangs on the door. Young Jean is bundled up.
Johnny, wait up!
John throws a snowball at Jean.
Don't go, please!
Gotcha!
Ah, good one!
They chase each other around the yard as George chops wood. He stops to watch them.
You're so gonna be sorry for this. Don't!
George smiles.
Well, that's your...
Carol watches from the front door. In the present, she reaches up and touches the empty wreath hanger. She wrinkles her forehead and looks around her. George carries a load of firewood into the house.
Big load coming through. Don't offer to help.
Hey, you're tracking in dirt, you know.
Yeah, but it'll be worth it when you smell the aroma of this freshly cut wood.
So,
you know, I've been thinking.
Yeah, that's always dangerous. Would you please take off your boots?
Yeah.
He sits down and looks up at her.
I want this Christmas to be special.
She tilts her head. He stands and removes a black band from John's prom photo.
I don't think John would want this.
He hands it to Carol.
It's not natural. I'm right, you'll see. I'll go take off my boots.
She bites her lip. She rubs the black band between her fingers. She sits on the couch sewing while George builds a fire in the fireplace.
She looks tired.
Yeah, it's all the stress. Not knowing what's happening.
Yeah. So, here's the plan. The new lights are in the den, and I brought all the ornaments down from the attic.
Did Jeannie say this was okay?
She didn't say it wasn't.
He squints at Carol.
Let's do this for her, okay? Christmas Eve is happening everywhere but here.
Yeah. So?
So.
He stands up.
Wait, where are you going?
I got one errand to run.
Wait, I don't want to be alone tonight.
He grabs his coat and looks at her.
You're not going to be alone tonight. I promise.
He kisses her on the cheek.
You know what I want for tonight?
What?
Healing.
He nods at her. She looks thoughtful as he walks away.
Healing.
She picks up an ornament.
Healing and decorations.
Ornaments and a nutcracker sit in boxes on the table. George puts a hat on his head and gets into his truck. He hangs John's dog tags on his rearview mirror.
There you go, son.
In the house, Jean walks down the stairs. Her mouth drops open when she sees the decorations.
Oh, wow. Hey.
Her mom holds a Santa Claus figure.
Hi.
Jean smiles.
Thought you were sleeping. Not really.
She picks up the nutcracker. Jean looks out the window.
Where's Dad going?
Well, he seems to think some kind of Christmas magic will make everything all right.
Jean rests her face on the nutcracker for a moment. She kneels near her mom.
You know, Mom, all those years without Christmas, all the kids at school, they would always be talking about what gifts they got and what they gave, and, I just always felt like we didn't have Christmas because you loved John more, and that somehow I didn't deserve Christmas because
he wasn't there.
No, honey.
Oh, my God.
Carol hugs Jean.
Oh, how could you think that? Oh, I have been so selfish.
Carol covers one eye with her hand.
We love you equally, both of you. I didn't think. I have been so consumed, you know, with grief and loss. I didn't think. I'm so sorry.
Jean nods at her.
You know, this Christmas is going to be different. Will you help me?
Jean smiles through her tears.
Yeah.
Her mom kisses her cheek and gestures to the decorations.
Pick something.
George drives past a house decorated with Christmas lights. John's dog tags dangle from the mirror, and George looks at them. He remembers a conversation with John.
I just want your approval.
I told you what I thought about the Army. I admire your guts, but I think it's a bad idea.
Look, that was your time, okay? I mean, you were drafted in some lottery. I'm a volunteer. I'm not afraid.
Why don't you go to college? You got the grades. Nobody in this family's ever gone to college before.
Look, I'll go when I get out. I mean, I'll have the money.
It's not the money. We've been saving all our lives.
Dad, I promise, okay? When I get out.
We're your parents. We don't want you to go. We love you. We're concerned.
Look, it's done.
What do you mean it's done?
I saw in the enlistment papers this morning.
Better tell your mother.
John closes his mouth and nods slowly. George uses sandpaper on a rocking chair. In the present day, George shakes his head as he drives. In a flashback, young Jean runs past a nativity set outside of church. Her dad places a wreath in front of John's tombstone as Carol watches. George and Carol look at each other and Carol shakes her head.
Come on, Jean, let's go.
Can't we go to church?
Jean frowns as they walk away. George stares into the distance and then looks down. He touches the top of the tombstone before he leaves. The stone reads John G. Boy Agian, Sergeant U.S. Army Desert Shield Campaign. Now, George continues driving in the night with the dog tags in his view. He takes them in his hand. His tires cross the center line. He sees the lights of an oncoming truck and swerves, turning his head away. As his truck fishtails, he notices a man standing near the road. George comes to a stop in some gravel on the side of the road. He looks around him in the dark.
Hey, you all right?
A young man appears at his passenger door holding a duffel bag.
Where the hell did you come from? You okay?
I'm fine. I didn't mean to scare you. My name's Matthew.
George Bayagian.
They shake hands.
Sorry about that.
Oh, it's all right. Let's get you straightened out and turned around before someone comes along.
Yeah, okay.
George looks over his shoulder. Jean and Carol continue to unbox decorations.
Oh, Jeannie, look at these. I never throw anything out. Oh, gosh, look at that. Oops.
She holds stockings.
Oh, my gosh, the star. Oh, I remember this.
Jean holds the star.
Oh, wow.
She sighs and puts it back in the box. As she looks at the star, she remembers a past Christmas. John chases her.
Hey, come back here.
Shrek.
Gotcha.
Hey, Lego, Lego. Let's put the star on.
Okay, here we go.
He lifts her up.
Stay.
Okay.
She tries to put the star on the tree.
Got it.
Oh, you got it?
I got all the time. I don't want it. Whoa.
They fall and he drops her onto the couch. He holds up the star with one side missing.
You broke it.
Did not.
It's okay. You know what?
It'll
still shine.
Sure.
He puts it back in the box.
Let's go. Move.
The fireplace blazes as Jean recalls the old memory. She gives a small smile as she sits in the living room.
Hey!
Carol holds Christmas lights.
Where are you going?
Jean follows her outside.
Where are you going? Okay.
She walks toward a well decoration in the yard.
Now, honey, these are like spaghetti. Why don't you see if you can grab an end here somewhere?
Oh, Mom, these are ancient.
Yeah, well...
You're gonna blow a fuse if you try to plug these in.
No, the ones on the house should take care of that.
You're really gonna put those up, too?
Well, why not? I mean, your dad says he wants a Christmas. Well, let's give him a Christmas. And if the whole thing blows, well, then it blows. Okay, one, two, three!
The house and well are lit up.
Ready? One, two, three.
George drives his truck as the stranger pushes it. The man grimaces as he pushes with his shoulder. The wheels gain traction and the truck rolls onto the road.
Hop in!
The younger man places his bag in the back seat.
I haven't seen one like that in a long time. You bet?
I did my time.
The stranger blows on his hands.
See any action?
The Gulf.
Army?
5th SFG.
You?
Vietnam, 82nd. So you were in the 5th Special Forces Group?
Yeah, that's right.
When were you there?
October 90. Desert Shield before the storm.
George nods and his tongue sticks out between his lips.
Are you headed to town?
Actually, I'm headed to the interstate. I'm gonna hook up with my ride in the morning. Being Christmas and all, folks are real charitable. I'm making good time. I'm actually ahead of schedule.
What are you gonna do till the morning?
I'll probably just flop somewhere.
Well, there's a pretty good motel the other side of town, right by the interstate. I can drop you over there.
Well, the truth is, George, I'm a little short. I'm thinking something along the lines of a bus station.
So you headed home for Christmas with the family?
No. No. I don't have a family, George. I did once, but not anymore.
You're not in trouble, are you?
You mean with the law?
Yeah.
No, not me. I always follow the rules.
Me too. Well, you got a family now.
spend Christmas Eve with us.
No, George, I couldn't. I mean, really. What's your family going to think you're bringing home a stranger on a night like tonight?
They'll probably be surprised. But they can handle it. Not your worry. What kind of family would we be if we didn't have room for a bed?
The men smile at each other. Jean untangles lights.
Okay, I think that's it, Mom.
You got it?
Yeah. Right.
Carol plugs the lights in.
Oh.
Great. Oh, look. Oh, most of them are working.
Yeah.
This one. Who in the world is that?
I'm going to
get that?
Yeah.
Be right there.
Jean looks out the door. She turns back to her mom.
Oh, no, not her.
Carol furrows her brow. Jean opens the door.
Mrs. Simpson.
Merry Christmas, Jeannie. How are you, dear?
Oh, fine, fine. Come on in. Merry Christmas.
Hi, Mary. Oh, what a surprise. How nice to see you.
When I heard Jeannie was home, I just had to come by. Here's some cookies. Baked them fresh this morning.
Thank you. Boy, well, I've got some hot water on. Would you like some tea?
Tea would just be fine, but just for a minute.
Okay.
I'm on my way to church. The choir, you know.
Oh, right. Christmas Eve.
Pastor Raymond has got us singing a section of Handel's Messiah. Can you imagine?
Oh, well, that must sound wonderful.
We all miss your beautiful soprano. It's never too late to come back.
Yeah, well, you know, George is out. If he gets back in time, then maybe we'll drop by.
Well, good. So, Jeannie, tell me, how's school? You got a boyfriend? Girl as pretty as you, you can have your pick. Best advice is play the field. There's plenty of fish in the sea. Since Ross died, that's what I do. It works. You got your whole life in front of you.
Right, Mom?
Got herbal tea?
Oh, that's just fine.
Mary grabs a mug.
Well, I see you got all the lights up this year.
Yeah, well, we're trying.
Well, that's all a body can do. Put one foot in front of the other. One day at a time.
Gee, I guess the whole town knows I have cancer.
Yeah, we don't know that. Jeannie, you're going to have a healthy and happy new year. I feel it in my bones. And many more. You got to feel it in your heart. Have faith. Miracles can happen.
Carol smiles at Jean, but Jean doesn't smile.
Well, I gotta be going.
Okay. Back out into that very un-white Christmas. Somehow it feels like snow.
Well, if it is, I'm ready. It's like Ross used to say. God bless the little children. And four-wheel drive.
Bye, girls. Bye, Mary.
Bye.
Thanks.
Carol closes the door and shakes her head.
She means well.
Mom, do you believe in miracles?
They look into each other's eyes.
Honey, if I thought a miracle were required, then yeah, I would believe in miracles. But we're not there. Okay, I think you're gonna be fine. All right?
Jean nods.
Stop it. Gotta check the turkey in the oven.
Jean chews on her lip.
Now, I bet I screwed up the suspension.
How many miles you got on her, George?
52,000 plus in less than 2 years.
Matthew points to the truck bed.
So what's in the box?
I'm a carpenter. Mostly house framing, but I do some custom cabinet work, too.
Jesus was a carpenter.
Bet he didn't do custom cabinet work.
George smiles.
So what do you do?
This and that. Sort of a jack of all trades. Master of none.
Uh-huh. And where you live?
The Midwest. You could say we moved around a lot.
You want me to look under the hood, George?
I don't think so, Lester. She's running just fine.
Well, if you don't change the oil.
I did it yesterday. What do I owe you?
You know, I already closed up my till. I'll put it on your tab.
Lester, I don't have a tab.
You do now. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Hey, do you know if Artie's got any more trees over there?
I can't say that I do, but I think he's still over there by the church.
Thanks, Les. Merry Christmas.
Night.
One more stop to make. Yo, baby, it's cold.
They drive downtown, which is lit up with Christmas lights.
Do you mind if I put on some music?
Sure, John. See if you can get a carol.
Matthew looks at George.
John?
Did I call you John?
Yeah, he did.
Sorry. That was my son's name. He was killed in Desert Shield.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Actually, he was in the 5th Special Forces Group, too.
Yeah. And we lost quite a few guys from the get-go. Nobody really talked about it, though.
Black Ops. Yeah, we had a lot of that in my war, too. Glad you made it back.
Thank you.
They both smile.
John liked that one a lot. Dashing through the snow in a one-horse open sleigh. O'er the fields we go, laughing all the way. Bells on bobtails ring, making spirits bright. Oh, what fun it is to ride a sleighing down the night. Oh, jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way.
Christmas trees are on sale beneath string lights.
Slim pickings, huh? Nothing very full. We always found the fullest trees.
Matthew touches a small tree.
Artie! He'll be around here somewhere.
Matthew turns to look.
Hey, when you were over there, you didn't happen to run into a kid named John Boyajian, did you? Special Forces, Staff Sergeant, Medical Specialist.
Well, that's hard to say. I ran into a lot of guys. We went over as a unit, but you come home alone.
Like life, you enter alone, you live, and you exit alone.
Philosopher, huh?
Yeah, dime store version. Tried the booze. Church, nothing got it for me.
Oh, it's a season of peace on earth, George. Maybe you'll find some.
Maybe. This was not bad.
It's all right.
They turn to see a dog baring its teeth.
What's up? You broke the chain.
A man runs after the dog.
Hey.
Matthew steps forward, holding out his hand.
Come here.
Yeah.
That won't hurt you.
Yeah.
Atta boy, huh? Good dog. Atta boy sport, huh?
He pets the calm dog.
You're a good dog, yeah.
You're a good boy, yeah.
George remembers John doing the same thing. George smiles.
You're a good dog, yeah. You're a good dog.
His smile fades.
You've got the touch. Rex don't take the folks easy.
I love dogs. I am Matthew.
He shakes Artie's hand.
Sport. Sport, why'd you call a dog sport? Yeah, it's just a name you use for a dog, like Rover or Butch. Weird.
Artie, that's all you got left?
Why don't you wait till last minute, George?
Oh, well.
Yeah, you might have called. I would have set one aside. I remember, you always bought my fullest tree.
How about this one?
Yeah, how about that one? That's perfect. How much for that one, Artie?
Artie holds up one finger.
It's been a long time, George. A long time.
Well, I'm here now. How much?
It's getting late. Probably won't have any more customers. I get stuck with these trees. I've got to cart them away.
Look at this guy. Now he's working me. How much?
I'll tell you what, George. You take this tree off my hands, next year you buy the biggest tree I have. Deal?
Deal. Merry Christmas, Artie. Thanks.
George and Matthew carry the tree.
You got it?
I got it.
Now we'll throw it back in the truck.
Take care, Artie. We got a great tree.
George sits in the back of the truck and looks toward the church.
Nice, huh?
Matthew looks toward the church, too.
Yeah. It's beautiful. Listen, George, are you sure about bringing me home? I mean, I don't want to impose.
It's no problem at all.
All right.
So you saw a lot of action over there, huh?
Yeah.
Lose any friends?
I lost a few.
How'd you handle it?
Among ourselves. and alone. Nobody really wanted to know. Back home, I talked myself out of a lot of relationships. But over there, in the midst of it, you don't have time to grieve. You meet guys, you get to know some. You lose a friend and his body's medevaced out of there, and you just keep on going. Just trying to stay alive. No time for reflection. But that bill came due later.
He looks up at George.
I'll never forget them.
I don't think you could ever forget us, son.
George remembers uniformed men arriving at their house in a black car. Jean looks out the window and smiles.
Mom, Dad, John's home!
The uniformed men salute one another. One holds a brown folder under his arm. Jean rushes down the stairs past her parents decorating the living room.
What?
Carol walks to the door.
Mommy and Daddy home?
Yeah, they're coming.
Jean opens the door and the men step inside. One of them salutes.
Mr. and Mrs. McJoanne, I'm Major Harris and this is Chaplain Wallace from the base.
Oh!
I'm sorry, but I must inform you that your son John was killed in the line of duty on December the 21st while serving with the Special Forces Group in Desert Shield Campaign in Iraq. He served his unit with distinction and his record will note that his life was lost while saving the lives of two other members of his unit.
The family embraces. The memory fades and George is now in the truck with Matthew.
John was inside Iraq. They were looking for Scud missile sites. They found three. That's when they came under fire. They sent a Black Hawk chopper in to get him out. It came under fire. Co-pilot was killed. The pilot was wounded. So I guess John grabbed an automatic weapon and decided that he was going to provide ground cover.
He made the ultimate sacrifice for his men.
That's what I choose to believe. His mother and his sister, though, different story.
I guess that's why Christmas hasn't been a happy time, huh?
Yeah.
You raised him well, George. With honor.
I didn't raise him to die.
George stares straight ahead. Christmas lights are on as they pull into the drive.
Wow, they did it. They really did it.
They stare at the lights as George parks the truck.
Looks great, huh?
Very nice.
Hey, would you do me a favor?
What do you need?
My wife and my daughter, could you tell them that you ran into John over there, that you knew him?
If they ask.
If you think that'll help, I'll do it.
Yeah.
George pulls a photo of John down from his sun visor.
That's the day that he got his green beret.
Matthew looks at the photo.
Been there, done that.
What to know? He was very protective of his sister. Overly protective. And, he was a really good baseball player. In high school, he was a good player.
Okay.
I got it.
Matthew smiles. Jean watches them through an upstairs window.
This is gonna be great.
Carol opens the door.
Oh.
She's a beaut, hon.
The men carry the tree inside.
Matthew, this is Carol. Carol, this is Matthew.
Hi, Matthew.
Hi, Carol. Nice to meet you. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
I found him freezing on Mill Pond Road. He's heading home for Christmas and doesn't hook up with his ride till tomorrow morning, so I invited him to spend Christmas Eve with us.
Well, welcome to our home.
Well, thank you kindly. Let's put it in here.
Jean slowly descends the stairs. George assembles the tree stand.
Let's stand her up.
All right.
Oh, she's so full.
Can I trouble you to move that chair, Carol?
Yeah.
They move the tree into place. As Carol moves an armchair, she notices Jean. Matthew raises one eyebrow as she enters.
Hi, Ann.
Hi, Dad. It's a nice tree.
Oh, honey, this is my...
Hi, Jeannie.
George stops smiling.
I'm Matthew. Merry Christmas.
They shake hands.
Merry Christmas.
George raises his eyebrows.
What do you say, we have a little Christmas cheer before we decorate the tree?
I have some eggnog.
Well, let's spike it.
Carol and George walk to the kitchen.
May I?
Matthew gestures toward the living room. He grabs the broken star.
Hey, this one's broken.
Yeah, that was a long time ago.
She looks at the tree. Matthew finds the other piece of the star.
Maybe we can fix it.
She looks at him and her mouth drops open.
Where did you find that?
In the bottom of the box.
I thought that was lost.
Not anymore. You got any glue?
Yeah.
Great.
She leaves the room to get glue. He holds the broken piece in place and smiles. George carries a serving bowl.
The turkey smells good.
Ah, another cooking channel experiment.
I hope you don't mind that I invited Matthew here tonight.
Yeah, well, he seems like a nice young man.
Well, he is.
And, you know, maybe he'll get Janie's mind off of the surgery.
She mixes the eggnog.
I don't know how much rum to put in here.
Put it all in. We'll get loaded. I think tonight I'd like to celebrate.
You know, Jeannie said something to me today. She said that she thought that the reason that we hadn't celebrated Christmas was because we loved John more than her. And she thought that maybe she didn't deserve Christmas because her brother was dead.
Carol shakes her head.
You know, I hadn't thought about what it was like for her. You know, just selfish.
Yeah, we were selfish.
But, you know, having this young man here, it's kind of like having Johnny home.
Yeah. And he was over there. Actually, he was in John's unit.
What?
But let's let him relax and, you know, kind of get settled in, and I'm sure he'll tell us all about it. He's a good guy.
So, yeah.
I'll take this, you grab that.
He holds the eggnog. She carries glasses and cookies.
Here comes Christmas cheer.
Generously spiked by Miss Heavyhand.
Guys, look at what Matthew did.
She holds the star.
Oh, he fixed it. Look.
Yeah, I glued it together. Where would you like me to put it?
On the top of the tree, silly.
Oh, right. You got a stepladder?
Yeah, in the hall closet.
No, just boost me.
All right.
George smiles as Matthew holds his hands out for her to step up.
Yeah.
She places the star on the tree.
Good job.
He takes a glass of eggnog from Carol.
Thank you.
The star suddenly lights up. Jean turns and looks at Matthew.
I found some batteries in the box. Popped them in. I guess they still work, huh?
Jean smiles.
Wow.
The family stares up at the star.
It's a turkey.
Carol walks to the kitchen. George looks wide-eyed at the star. Carol sets the turkey down.
Hey, kids are in there still decorating a tree.
What do you say we,
Do you want to just make sandwiches and eat in the living room?
Like we used to.
Honey, keep decorating the tree. We're eating in the living room.
Okay.
Carol starts carving the turkey. Jean selects a glass ornament and hands it to Matthew.
Okay, this one. Just to the right of that angel.
Right. Get it.
Just a second,
to
hon.
To the right a little bit. Oh.
No. Ready?
Yes, yes.
George plugs in the lights.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Merry Christmas, George.
Merry Christmas, honey.
Merry Christmas, honey.
George and Carol hug and kiss. Jean and Matthew grab each other's arms.
Merry Christmas,
George. Merry Christmas. All right, let's eat.
A photo of John and Jean hangs on the tree. The repaired star shines brightly at the top. The lights glow outside the house.
Hey, this brings back so many memories.
Good ones.
Oh, yeah.
Carol turns to their guest.
Matthew, George told me that you were in the same unit as John, overseas.
Oh, what? You knew my brother?
Yeah, I did.
How?
I was Special Forces, too. Different units, but we were both based out of the same base in Saudi.
Were you with John when he died?
No. Our unit was near Baghdad, and he was out in the boonies hunting for scuds. But I'd run into him the odd time at briefings.
And did he ever talk about me or us?
Oh, yeah, yeah, of course, all the time. Like, he told me he had this doll of a little sister.
Oh.
That when she got older, he was going to do everything he could to keep you guys away from you.
Oh. Johnny used to talk about having this test that he would give to any guy who asked me out. And he said that every girl's big brother did that.
He didn't say anything about that.
George watches Matthew closely.
Oh, I remember this other story. He had this scar on the back of his neck. And I asked him about it because I thought he got hit, you know.
Oh, I remember.
It was funny because it never tanned.
George drops his glass. He rubs his head.
Okay, here.
Matthew cleans it up.
Oh, that's okay. I get it.
Tell us more.
Yeah.
All right. Baseball. He talked about high school baseball all the time and the big game.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he hit the home run, which won us the state.
Championship. That's right. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. He was real proud of that.
Oh, boy. Well, we were too. Yes. So, what else?
Well, I only really ran into him a few times. He was a good soldier, first-class medic. He talked about becoming a doctor one day. The guys liked him a lot. And I'm sorry, that's about it. It was just such a long time ago.
You talking about him, he seems closer. Oh, it's just funny how you forget, and then you're just sitting here talking about actually seeing him, being there with him. It makes it all more real somehow. It's him.
Matthew raises one eyebrow.
It fills in a lot for me.
Carol looks him in the eye.
Thank you, Matthew.
She reaches out to him.
You're welcome.
She looks at George.
Want to help me clean up?
He stands. Matthew stokes the flames in the fireplace. He stands up and looks at a photo of John on the mantel.
I remember Johnny and I, we got this puppy. It was a German Shepherd. And Johnny called him Sport. Just been weaned. And that first night that we got him, we kept him in this box in the kitchen. And, Matthew, he cried. All night, nobody could sleep. And my parents tried everything. They tried the ticking clock. They tried the radio, and nothing worked.
Well, they're a lot like humans. They get scared, and they need love.
I agree. Well, finally, Johnny came and took the puppy up to its room, and he fell fast asleep on his bed. Sport never left Johnny's side after that. Those two were... they're inseparable.
Matthew smiles at her.
I'm so sorry.
She grabs her chest. She pulls a bottle of pills from her pocket.
Oh, hey.
He takes the bottle.
You don't need these.
Oh, yes, I do. I've just had surgery and...
He leans forward.
I want you to do something for me.
What?
He holds out his hands.
Give me your hands.
She looks at him.
Oh, come on. Trust me.
He smiles and she puts her hands in his.
Now close your eyes.
She narrows her eyes at him.
Come on, close your eyes. Trust me.
She closes them.
Now take a long, deep breath. And let it out slowly. Keep your eyes closed. And think of something that would bring you pure joy.
He watches her. He places his hands on her shoulders.
Now hold that thought.
He slowly moves his hands down her arms without taking his eyes off of her. She slowly begins to smile. She smiles wider. She opens her eyes and looks at Matthew. He raises one eyebrow. She has tears in her eyes. She shakes her head.
That's a pretty neat trick.
He grins.
You should patent that.
He holds up the bottle of pills.
Told you you don't need these.
She smiles.
I don't.
He shakes his head. They gaze into each other's eyes.
When I hear him talk about John, boy, I'm gonna miss him just so much. And you know, you were right about Christmas. I'm so glad you had us do that. You know, I was against it, but I'm just really glad it was the right thing. Especially for Jeannie, you know?
She washes dishes and turns toward her husband.
You're awfully quiet.
Yeah, I was just thinking about all the things he knows about John.
Huh. He made an impression. That's a good thing.
He nods. Matthew enters the kitchen.
I didn't want to leave this fine crystal line out.
Where's Jeannie?
She's in her room.
George dries his hands.
I think I'll go check on her. She's probably just tired.
He leaves the kitchen.
So, did George tell you why we haven't celebrated Christmas for so long?
Yeah, he did.
She leaves the kitchen and Matthew stands by the sink holding a spoon. She steps onto the front porch and buttons her coat. She looks up and then shoves her hands into her pockets. Matthew walks onto the porch and wraps his arms around himself.
That's where I used to sneak out to have cigarettes. It's my quiet time. You know, unless you are a parent, you can't imagine what it's like. And to get the news on Christmas Eve.
Unfortunately, they have procedures they have to follow.
Yeah, right. Well,
I understand it's a great loss.
She looks at Matthew.
It's an unbearable loss.
He puts his hands into his pockets.
John wouldn't want you to feel so lost. He'd want you all to be full of good memories. It's like light and dark.
He steps off the porch and into the yard.
The moonlight touches down on the fields. Becomes part of its beauty. Darkness is also its light. And what do you see when you look out there? Do you see the darkness? Or the moonlight? Or both? And can you separate the two? Or shouldn't you?
Well, I think it's like you said there. It's all one.
He turns and looks back at Carol standing on the porch. He walks up the steps and stands beside her again.
When we lose someone we love, doesn't mean they're not with you anymore. You just have to find them in a different way. John's spirit is here. It's everywhere. It's in this house. It's in your heart. So don't push him away. Embrace him. You'll always have that.
She looks over at Matthew.
Thank you.
His chin quivers and he smiles.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
She stares ahead of her and nods her head.
Something.
They go back inside the house. K Carol pauses as she enters the living room.
Oh, honey.
Looks fantastic, George.
It's just beautiful.
They join him next to the lit-up tree.
Jean upstairs?
Yeah, she's sleeping.
He looks at Matthew.
Hey, grab your jacket. I got something I want to show you.
The men leave, and Carol stays behind looking at the Christmas tree. She steps forward and touches the photo of John and Jean. George takes Matthew into his workshop.
This is great, George.
Yeah.
My dad had a shop like this. I used to help him make stuff fall apart.
George opens a cupboard.
Yeah.
Keeps you busy.
Yeah.
He uncovers a wooden box with the initials JB on it.
This is a box I made for John. My grandfather had one just like it. He used to keep all his stuff in it.
He opens the box.
Mostly I just keep John's stuff in it.
He shows Matthew a medal.
DSC. Congress gave it to him.
I know.
We gave him John. They gave us stuff.
He replaces the medal and closes the box.
We were going to give it to him when he came home. I never thought I'd get it finished in time. Little did I know I had all the time in the world.
He puts the box back into the cupboard.
I'm sure John would have loved it.
George looks at Matthew.
Those things you said about John in the house, how did you know that?
That's just a lucky guess. Guys tease their kid sisters all the time. It's usually about boys.
Like the baseball championship.
Well, you said he played ball. Carol just filled in the blanks.
Who are you?
George points to his neck.
How did you know about the scars on the back of his neck? I mean, in the truck you told me you never met him. Who are you? What kind of game are you playing here?
He steps toward Matthew.
What do you want from me and my family?
I told you who I was, George. And you accepted it. Are Carol and Jeannie happier that I said what I said? This was your idea, George. I bear your family no harm.
Matthew steps closer to George.
And you want to believe, George. I know you do.
Matthew follows Carol upstairs.
How's Jeannie?
She's good. She's sleeping.
Okay. I'm going to put him in John's room.
George nods his head.
Good night.
Good night.
He points a finger toward Matthew.
I'll see you in the morning, Matthew.
You got it.
Carol turns on the bedroom light.
Okay. Bathroom's right in here.
Great.
She switches on the bedside lamp. He points to a snow globe.
I love these things.
Oh, yeah, me too. I gave that to John. That was mine when I was a kid.
He holds it and smiles.
You know, if I really wanted it to snow outside, I take it and I just shake it real hard and I make a wish. And one time, even before the flakes had settled, it started to snow.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you want a white Christmas.
He nods at her and she looks down at the snow globe. She takes it in her hands. She closes her eyes and shakes it. He takes it back and looks at the snow falling.
Yeah. You must be tired.
A little. Listen, Carol, I want to tell you how much I really appreciate you welcoming me into your home.
Oh.
Especially tonight, and I know the timing's not that great.
Oh, the timing was perfect.
She grins.
So, good night.
Good night.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
They smile and she shuts the door. He looks around the room. His eyes settle on a snow globe. Snow is falling outside the window. He looks outside at the snow and the lights and smiles. He moves to touch some trophies.
Hey, Slugger.
He picks one up. A photo of John on his teammates' shoulders hangs on the wall.
State championship.
He sets the trophy down.
Down 3-0.
He picks up a wooden baseball bat.
2 outs. 2 strikes, bases loaded, bottom of the ninth.
He raises the bat over his shoulder.
Doesn't get any better than this. Here's a windup. And the pitch. And it's all mine. Crack!
He swings the bat. He gazes into the distance.
Out of the park.
He chuckles. He puts the bat back into its place. He looks at photos of John on the desk next to an American flag. One photo shows John as a Boy Scout. He picks up a photo of John with his fellow Army soldiers.
I never got a chance to know you, Johnny boy. You couldn't hear the love they had for you. No, you couldn't.
He replaces the photo. He picks up another one and then sets it down on the desk. He looks around the room.
How many wars?
He sees himself in a full-length mirror.
How many young men never made it home?
He takes off his outer layer, a flannel shirt.
Is that part of the world any better?
He throws it on the bed.
Are we any safer?
He removes his long-sleeved shirt. There is a scar on his neck.
Nothing's changed. Nothing.
He turns away from the mirror. Outside, snow falls over the brightly lit house. Jean is asleep under a comforter with a floral pattern. She wakes and sits up in bed. She looks toward the windows. She pulls her covers off and gets out of bed. She walks toward the windows. She stands at the window and looks out at the snow falling. She slowly smiles. Carol awakens in her bedroom. She sees the snow falling outside. She gets out of bed. She stands at her window and looks out at the snow coming down. She looks up. Jean walks down the stairs and pauses to look at the Christmas tree. She opens the front door and walks outside. She holds her hands up to catch the snowflakes.
Jeannie?
Carol hurries down the stairs in her robe.
Oh, for crying out loud. Honey, what are you doing?
She puts a coat around Jean.
Everything is fine. Oh, Jeannie.
They stand huddled together on the porch. George joins them.
What are you doing out here?
It's just so beautiful. Dad, everything's fine. I'm gonna be okay.
Of course you're gonna be okay.
Yeah. No, I mean, I know it. I really know it now. I know it was there, and now I know it's gone.
She has tears in her eyes. Carol smiles up at George.
Merry Christmas, George.
George looks back toward the house, but he sees no one.
George?
He walks inside.
Honey, let's go in. Come on.
Jean and Carol follow him. The star glows atop the tree. George gazes at the tree and the star. He puts his arm around Jean, and she leans against him. Carol leans in and they look at the tree together.
Thank you for bringing Christmas home to us, Dad.
The three of them smile. The next morning, the lawn is covered in a blanket of white as Matthew walks down the sidewalk. He puts his bag in the back of George's truck.
So you really have to go?
Yeah.
You ride?
They're waiting for me.
Thank you so much.
George watches as Jean kisses Matthew's cheek.
Thank you.
Merry Christmas, ladies.
Merry Christmas.
Matthew turns to go.
Bye. Travel safely.
Merry Christmas.
Gene waves, and he waves back. He gets into the truck. Gene and Carol look at each other. Gene jogs toward the house. She takes her gloves off and answers the phone.
Hello?
Jeannie?
Yes.
It's Dr. Ortiz. I have good news. I had the pathology folks stay late after you left the hospital, and...
It's Dr. Ortiz. Yes, I know.
You know?
I just know. Thank you so much. Merry Christmas, Doctor.
She bites her lip.
What? I'm okay.
Oh!
A hug. George and Matthew drive on a road with a sign that reads to Interstate 95. George parks the truck on the road near a cornfield. They get out and Matthew grabs his bag. They walk together.
Sure you can't stay?
Yeah, I gotta go. Well, you should at least let me drop you at the interstate.
No, this is good, George.
You know, I don't know why you came to us.
Because you were right. It was time. Merry Christmas, Dad.
George and Matthew embrace. They step apart.
You better head back.
George nods, and Matthew starts walking. George turns toward his truck. Matthew turns to look at him. George stops and turns toward Matthew. Matthew slings his bag onto the ground. George bites his lip and smiles. Matthew salutes him. George sees Matthew change into John in uniform, saluting him. George's smile fades. He salutes John. John smiles at his dad. John turns to go and changes back into Matthew. George smiles as he watches him walk.
Merry Christmas, son.
Matthew continues walking, and then he disappears. George, Carol, and Jean pass the nativity scene outside the church. They go up the steps and into the church doors.
Merry Christmas, George.
George stops and shakes hands with some congregants. He looks past the nativity towards John's tombstone. He smiles fondly.
Merry Christmas.
He shakes hands with a man entering the church. He looks toward John's grave again. Text. Executive Producer Gerald W. Abrams.